If you'll turn with me to Numbers chapter 13 and 14 this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, we want to continue looking at great Bible stories, and we want to look at this account of God's people who, for the most part, the majority of the number of them, had a lack of faith in God's word. And this is the very account that caused the Israelites to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. If you know your Old Testament Bible stories and history, you'll know that that is a very important part of Israel's history. Wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And what caused that? That's what we want to look at this morning, and we're glad that you have joined us. In Numbers chapter 13, God tells Moses to send spies to spy out the land. They're sitting in the southern part of Canaan land. They're not far from the land that Israel would actually inherit. And men are sent to spy out the land. Look at chapter 13, verse 1, and Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a prince among them. And then he mentions that, and their names are given. They were to spy out the land. But notice that God also said, I will give it to the children of Israel. God did not send them into the land without help. He was going to help them. So these men are listed, and in Numbers 13, verse 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, get you up this way by the south, and go into the hill country, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in is, whether it is good or bad, and what cities are they that dwell therein, whether camps or strongholds, and what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether there is wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land, from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, to the entrance of Hamath. So they went from south to north, all throughout the land, and they went up by the south, and came in unto Hebron, and Ahiman, and Shishai, and Talmai. The children of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the valley of Eshcol, and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it upon a staff between two. They brought also of the pomegranates and of the figs. That place was called the valley of Eshcol, because of the cluster which the children of Israel cut down from there. Eshcol means cluster. Verse 25, and they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Howbeit, the people that dwell in the land are strong, and the cities of the are fortified and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Amalek dwells in the land of the south, and the Hittite and the Jebusite and the Amorite dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanite dwelleth by the sea and along by the side of the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had spied out unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come of the Nephilim, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore does Jehovah bring us unto this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will be a prey. Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were of them that spied out the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceeding good land. If Jehovah delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it unto us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against Jehovah, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from over them, and Jehovah is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of Jehovah appeared in the tent of meeting unto all the children of Israel. And Jehovah said unto Moses, How long will this people despise me? How long will they not believe in me? For all the signs which I have wrought among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a nation greater and mightier than they. We'll stop right there, and we'll pick up the reading later in just a moment. So God brought the Israelites out of Egypt to give them the promised land. And it was going to take some work in order to do that. But all along the way, God promised that he would be with them. Not only that, but we read right there at the end, chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, that he had already proven himself powerful enough. He had wrought miraculous signs, starting with the 10 plagues in Egypt and the parting the waters in crossing the Red Sea, and providing the quail and the manna from heaven, and providing water from a rock to drink from, and other miraculous signs and provisions for his people. So God was able to do that. He's asking them to trust in him, and he will help them. So we find this morning that the Israelites, who were not able to go into the land of Canaan, they wandered in the wilderness and died there. They were not able to go in because of unbelief. And really, that's what the Hebrew writer says. They were not able to go in because of unbelief. Hebrews 3, verse 19, and we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. If you back up to verse 17, and with whom was he, God, displeased 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that were disobedient? And we see that they were not able to enter in because of unbelief. Let's talk about that unbelief this morning. Do you believe and obey God, friend? Do you know his word? Do you read your Bible? Do you put it into practice each day? There are so many unbelievers today. I'm seeing statistics where about 22% of all Americans do not identify with any church, any religious group. They don't attend anywhere. They don't go anywhere. That's almost one quarter of our population. More and more people are becoming unbelievers. There is no God. The Bible's not the Word of God. Jesus is not the Son of God. And so forth. And we cannot enter into heaven with unbelief, just like these folks could not enter into Canaan land with unbelief. So let's look at that unbelief this morning. First of all, these 10 spies are sent out. And remember, back in chapter 13, verse 2, send the men that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. God was going to be there to give it to them. They had to do some fighting, but God was going to help them to do that. And so when the spies come back, I'm sure the congregation was fine with the grapes and the pomegranates and the figs and the nice produce that was brought back. Their problem was when they heard about the giants that were in the land. And so they begin to fear and they begin to distrust God. And the first thing that I want to notice is a person's attitude toward God and His Word and what He wants for us. There were 10 spies that were sent out. They all saw the same thing, but their attitude was different. The attitude of Joshua and Caleb was different from the other 8 spies. They all saw the same thing. The 8 spies who came back said, "We can't do it." Their attitude was wrong. And they lacked faith. And they said, chapter 13, verse 33, "We are just grasshoppers. These big giants, we can't take them. We're just like grasshoppers." All 10 of them saw the exact same thing, but their attitude was different. Joshua and Caleb had an attitude of faith and trust and courage and belief. And the other 8 had an attitude of unbelief, fear, cowardice. What is your attitude toward what God wants for you? Do you have an "I can" or an "I can't" attitude? And notice that first of all this morning. We all can see God's Word. We all have it. We all have Bibles. But not everybody's attitude is the same toward the Word of God. The second thing that I want you to notice is that in verse 31, the 8 spies said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought an evil report of the land which they had spied out unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy out is a land that eats up the inhabitants," and so forth. They got the people to believing their unbelief. Their unbelief was passed on to the people. They brought up an evil report to the people. And starting in chapter 14 and verse 1, the people that believed that, they start murmuring. So our attitude can be passed on to others, a spouse, our children, parents, children, grandparents, family, friends. And so here you are, an unbeliever, and now you're passing that on to somebody else and getting them to believe something they shouldn't believe. And another thing that we see here is that a lot of times people tend to go with the majority. 8 of them had disbelief. 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, had belief and faith. But 8 of them did not. 80% said, "We can't do it." 20% said, "We can do it." And the people believed the 80%. That tends to be the way it is throughout time and even today. People listen to what a majority of people are doing or what the popular crowd is doing, what politicians want, what certain judges want, what famous people want, what Hollywood stars want, what famous musicians want, instead of listening to what God says. And we go along. And people will bring up moral issues like homosexuality and abortion and transgender and things like that. And people will say, "Well, there's a lot of people that want that, and so it's okay." But does God want it? That's the main thing. What does God say? Who are you listening to, in other words? Number one, what is your attitude toward the Word of God? Number two, whatever that attitude is, you're likely passing that along to someone close to you. And number three, who are you listening to in society? The majority or the minority? There, you might have a majority of people that don't want the truth of God's word. But you need to go with the minority of people who do want the truth of God's word and be willing to be among that minority. But so many people today are bothered by numbers and appearances and being in the crowd and being among the popular group that they're willing to jeopardize their eternal soul's salvation just so that they can go along and be with a majority of folks. Don't do it. Let me encourage you not to do that. The people here in chapter 14, verse 1 and following, listen to the majority, and they're going to be punished. They will not be allowed to enter into the land of Canaan. When they heard this evil report, this discouraging report, this report of unbelief and lack of faith, they then said, "We want to go back to Egypt." Verse 3, 4, and following, "We want to go back to Egypt." And so they lost sight of that promised land. Have you lost sight of heaven? People are so consumed with the things of this life that heaven is not on the horizon for them. Heaven is not on their mind as it should be. They're just living, you know, go to work, go to school, just carry on the day-to-day things. Heaven, what's that? And so they don't read about it. They don't pray about it. They don't care about it. And it's a shame that these Israelites are wanting to go back to that place of bondage that they had come out of earlier. Well, we find in chapter 14, verse 6, that Joshua and Caleb, they rent their clothes. They're very upset at this in Bible times, showing grief and that it's a serious matter. They're rending their clothes and they say, "We can do this. If God wants us to go into the land of Canaan, He's going to be there to give it to us. It's going to be challenging, but He'll be there. He'll help us. Fear them not." We need somebody to stand up from time to time and tell us to move forward. And don't fear. Don't fear obeying God. Even if it's challenging, there's a great reward now and in the life to come. Don't fear men. Don't fear a challenge. Don't fear hard work. Don't fear obedience. There's a great reward that comes to those, but one of the greatest weapons of the devil is fear. Fear of what somebody might say. Fear of what somebody might do to me. Fear of rejection. Fear of being made an outcast if I start obeying God and His word. Fear that somebody might laugh at me or something along those lines. We need courage and conviction and fortitude to press forward. And I'm thankful for Joshua and Caleb who stood up at this time. We need men and women like that today who will stand up and push us forward. Push us past the status quo. Push us past the comfortable, stay in my comfort zone and I don't want to go any farther. We need men and women like that. Unfortunately, it did not help. And so they did not enter in because of their unbelief. Another lesson is found in chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, where God comes to Moses and he's very upset at his people. And he says, "I have wrought miraculous signs among them, and they still won't believe. And so I'm going to strike them with pestilence." Now we see a great attitude of Moses. It would be difficult for us to do this, I'm sure, but Moses wants his people saved, just like Paul did in Romans chapter 9 and 10. So let's continue the reading now. Let's see how the rest of this story plays out. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 13, Moses said unto Jehovah, "Then the Egyptians will hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that thou, Jehovah, art in the midst of the people, for thou, Jehovah, art seen face to face. And thy cloud standeth over them, and thou goest before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because Jehovah was not able to bring up this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I pray thee, let the power of the Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, Jehovah is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression, that they will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I pray thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy loving kindness, and according as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And Jehovah said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But in very deed, as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Jehovah, because all those men that have seen my glory and my signs, which I wrought in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have tempted me these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. So from Exodus chapter 14, when they doubted before crossing the Red Sea, all the way up to this occasion, 10 different occasions in which they exercised unbelief and distrust in proving and testing God. They've tempted me these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that despise me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekite and the Canaanite dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn ye and get into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And Jehovah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation that murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me, saying to them, as I live, saith Jehovah, surely as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do it to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, that have murmured against me. Surely you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear that I could make you dwell therein, that I would make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones that you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall be wanderers in the wilderness 40 years, and you shall bear your whoredoms until your dead bodies be consumed in the wilderness, after the number of the days in which you spied out the land, even 40 days, for every day a year shall you bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and you shall know my alienation. I, Jehovah, have spoken. Surely this will I do unto this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up an evil report against the land, even those men that did bring up an evil report of the land died by the plague before Jehovah. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive of those men that went to spy out the land. And Moses told these words unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up to the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we are here, and we will go up unto the place which Jehovah hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of Jehovah, seeing it shall not prosper? Go not up, for Jehovah is not among you, that you be not smitten down before your enemies. For there the Amalekite and the Canaanite are before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned back from following Jehovah. Therefore Jehovah will not be with you. But they presumed to go up to the top of the mountain. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of Jehovah and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekite came down, and the Canaanite who dwelt in that mountain, and smote them, and beat them down even unto Hormah. So when they were told, let's go into the land, we can take it. When Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, fear not, don't listen to these 8 spies. We can take the land. The Lord will be with us. He delights in us. Fear not. They didn't want to go. Now, when they're told that they will not be allowed to go into the land of Canaan, and those 20 years old and upward will wander in the wilderness for 40 years and die there, now their attitude is, we will go up. You can't keep us out, Lord. We'll show you. We'll go in. And Moses says, don't do it. And the text says in chapter 14 and verse 44, they presumed to go up. So when they were told to go up, they said no. And then later, when they're told, you can't go in, they say, yes, we can. They're all turned around, and they will not obey God. Presumption. I can do what I want. And we live in a world today like that. I can have any marriage I want. I can have any relationship I want. I can do whatever I want. It's the me society. I can do whatever I want with my body. We hear that a lot with regard to abortion and the murdering of thousands of innocent lives every day all around the world. And the argument is, nobody can tell a woman what to do with her body. Well, God has already told a woman what she should do with that which is in her body. The problem is, we don't want anybody telling us what to do, including God. And we're going to presume and do whatever we want. And when people presume that way, they're going to reap God's judgment. So when these people try to go up, they're smitten down again by the Amalekite and the Canaanite. Will you obey or not? And when you're told to go, go. And when you're told no, you can't go, don't presume. And so this well-known account is a pivotal point in Israel's history. They were on the southern border of Canaan land. They could have gone in there with God's help, fought these individuals, gone into the land of Canaan. But as a result, no. They have to wander around for 40 years total before they can come into the land of Canaan. And I want to close this morning with a statement that we read, and that is in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24 with regard to Caleb. My servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land. That's what I want to close with this morning. Friend, I want to encourage you to have a different spirit, a different attitude. Have the attitude of Joshua and Caleb, the attitude of obedience, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Have a different attitude from those around you. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. If we can sit down and study together, if we can learn what to do, let's do that. Please contact us. We thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. We hope that you'll have a good day.